purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Just take away all my sins.
God, that's our heart's desire, for you to have your way with our lives, Lord. And Lord, we are cleansed from inside out. Oh, many people can clean the outside and clean up for a little while, make it look good. But after a while, it goes right back to where it came from. But if there's a change on the inside of the inside, at the root, oh, the branches will bring forth what's inside of it. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that you have your way with our lives. And thank you for this service, Lord, another opportunity to praise you, worship you, to hear from you. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Answer our questions. And may we walk out of here and say, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him along the way? Be with your bride around the world, Lord. Be with Sister King. Continue to give her strength and touch her body. Be with her sons, Lord, and give them peace. And Lord, we ask that you have your way with the rest of the service. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody. Always good to see my dad, of course. Had an inkling he would be up. He likes to come and listen. I always say, you know, you could preach, but he preaches a lot at home, so he likes to come and sit and relax. But God knows what he's doing. And we all have our roles and jobs to do, so let's step down and do them, right? And I know we got Easter coming up, and Brother Jim and Brother Doug are working on the car list. They'll take care of who's getting you down there and what car they'll put you in. They'll eventually get that to you, probably maybe the day that we're leaving. But they also said that we're going to leave here at 9 a.m. So that Saturday, leaving from the church at 9 a.m. so we can start announcing that to people. So we'll be ready by then. And so I'm excited that Brother Jim and Brother Doug are going to lead us down. It may seem strange to you, but that's a load. I feel a lot of relief by them doing that. So I appreciate our brothers being willing to step in and come and go with us to Easter service. We're going to have a good time. We always do. I'm looking forward to getting down to the Elkton Church again and seeing the people there and seeing the other brothers and churches they're bringing in. You know, what we're doing here, we're going to be doing over there, right? We're going to end up over there with Bride of Jesus Christ, and we're going to fellowship, and so might as well start and join each other here and have a good time here. And so glad to be here and enjoying services, enjoying Bible study. God does talk to us, answers questions, and it's nice to have a place where you can come ask questions, even about everyday life. You know, because... you know, we all know that soon and very soon we can see the end time. It's the end of the world. And we know that any moment, any day, we could wrap this thing up. And that's what we're really looking for, because everything we go through on this side will pass. But, you know, as long as we're on this side, there will be things that we overcome, possess the gate of the enemies over. And we thank God for the answers to be able to do that. Because it also takes those answers to get through those things to continue to do the other things that God wants us to do while we're here on this side. And so it is so nice to have an answer to all the devil's questions. Amen. And I've said a lot here lately, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. When you get that real answer and you get that revelation from God and you know that God's talked to you, like come what may, you've got an answer. And no matter how many lies the devil tries to tell you, you send him on his way. Amen. You know, we've been taught quite well how to fight the devil around here, so to speak. You know, Brother Shorty used to say, it's kind of like putting my pants on every day. That's how used to it I am now. You know, you wake up and, that's you again. You know? But, you know, it starts, you know, right here, the greatest battle ever fought. Right there in your mind. Amen. And, you know, as Brother Destin talks about the devil, you know, he's going to pester you. If you take your eye off him, he'll try to sneak up behind you, so to speak. But here's the thing. He can come and try to bother you, but what you have the right to do is shoot him out and send him on his way. Because here's what I like about it. I've always loved that the Bible and Jesus called him out and said he's the liar and the father of lies. And so if you know that the devil's talking to you, you automatically know that it's a lie. When he tells you you're not good enough, you already know the answer. The Word of God tells me that Jesus Christ has made me worthy. That I am free from sin. That there's therefore now no condemnation. Oh yeah, he's going to come and try to talk to you every day. That's what he does. He's going to pester you that as a real believer every day that he possibly can. But what's so great about it is we got the victory. We have a revelation from Jesus Christ. We haven't been left wanting. We have the answer. We've even been told all the way down to the simplicity of when he says one thing, tell him the opposite. When he comes and tells you one thing, don't let him make a nest there. Send him and shoot him out of the way. Oh, that's it's simple instructions, but you'll overcome the devil every single day by using your revelation and send him on his way. We have the Word. That's what Jesus did to him when he approached Jesus. Right. Hey, Jesus was out there fasting 40 days, 40 nights. He was hungry. Yeah. And what's the first thing the devil offers him? Why don't you turn this into bread here? And in one sense, in the flesh, Jesus' weakest moment. But you know what Jesus did? He took the Word of God and said, it's not even lawful for you to tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me. Yeah. Oh, we have the answer to the devil. We have the victory over the devil. Amen. nowhere do I find in this Bible that we lose to the devil. Not one time has God ever lost to the devil. He's always been ahead of him. He always knows what move he's going to make before he even makes it. Oh, that ought to stir us up. That ought to remind us who we are. To remind us that the devil really is no match for us. We got the full octane Word of God. And we can use it every day of our life. He tells you you don't have any friends. You tell him, I got a 2,000-year-old bright body, and every one of them are my friends. I got friends in my church. The devil's just trying to get you down. That's what he tries to do. But we have the answer to pick ourselves back up, hold our heads high, and remember we're a child of the King. We can. We do. We will. We have. We'll continue possessing the gate of the enemy. He's no match for us. So before I preach my message, I better read a scripture. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The 15th chapter. Feeling a little bit better now. And you know, this scripture reading I'm about to do, we're going to go to the 15th chapter. We don't really read there very often. But you know, I read a message, and I'll go ahead and give you my title. It's called Victory Day. And I'm excited about that title. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But in that message, Brother Branham preached a message called Victory Day. Matter of fact, that's where Brother Moore got his quote that says he allows disappointments to show the victory. Because I found that this week by happenstance because I read it. But with that stated, he read this scripture right here to give that title. So we're going to read Revelation, the 15th chapter. We're going to start with verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having seven last plagues in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And then they had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy sayings, thou King of saints. My title tonight is Victory Day. Now, we're not as, this country's not as national, proud to be a nationalistic country as we used to be, but Victory Day, we even celebrate a Victory Day in this country. And so when Brother Branham titled it, that's what he was kind of referencing a little bit, was a Victory Day. And we all know what victory is. You know, I did look it up, though, because, you know, you always like to see how Webster says things. But it's the act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in battle or overcoming. And when Brother Branham started off, and I agree with him, he said, victory is a great word. It's a great thing. Because even in the natural side of things, forget the spiritual battle, we all kind of like to win a little bit. That feels a lot better than losing. You know, in a basketball game, you celebrate when you win. And that was even the thing he pointed out here, having the harps of God and singing a song unto God. You know, when you win, you celebrate a little bit. And that's why we ought to be the most joyous people there is on the face of the earth, Brother Destins. To know what God's done for us, to have him do it to you personally, to know that he's taking care of your past, present, and future, and that he has your footsteps ordered, and he has amazing grace for you, and he heals all your sicknesses, and you're more than an overcomer, and on and on and on, and all the things he has in store for us. We're the most victorious group of people that there is on the face of the earth. Amen. If anybody ought to be able to praise God, it ought to be us. Amen. With our eyes closed. Amen. Having the worst day we have, we ought to be able to praise God. Because we know too much and have been too blessed. Right. We're easy to be able to come in here and probably an instrument for him. To raise my hand for him. To say amen for him. To give him a little bit of praise and thanks for everything he's done for me. He's given me the victory. He's the one that made possible for me to have the victory. To God be the glory. Oh, Brother Branham used this a little bit, talked about the Old Testament a little bit, and we'll talk about a couple of those stories because they're good stories. He talked about Moses, and he said one of the greatest things is he was standing before that Red Sea, and he was trying to figure out how to get across. And God said, why cry, Moses?
I've already commissioned you for this job. Speak and go forward. And Moses did just that, Dad, and that water parted, and he took the children of Israel across on dry land. Oh, that was a great victory for Moses. And he would go on and talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter what God would save him or not, they were willing to say, if he doesn't even save me, I'm going to stay right here in this fiery furnace and serve the living God and not bow to idols. And here comes that fourth man in that furnace and gave him the victory. But what was interesting, Brother Branham celebrated those victories and talked about how good they were. But he said those were temporal victories. Because eventually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died. Eventually Moses didn't even make it over to the promised land until later when he found his promised land. But at first he didn't make it over. Those were temporal victories.
Amen.
He says, but oh, here came one. His name was Jesus Christ.
Right.
That took things that were just temporal and he made a chance for us to have what we would call an eternal victory, so to speak.
Amen.
He made available to you and I, even though we've always had it, but he made it where we could be redeemed back and get born again and get eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Oh, one came once and for all, Brother Moore.
Amen.
That's why to God be the glory.
Amen.
Any victory that I have in this walk is because Jesus paid it all and made a way.
Amen.
Think about what the scripture says. By his stripes,
yes,
we're healed.
Amen.
He's bruised for our peace.
Right.
We have peace because of him.
Amen. That's right.
He's the one that paid it all, Brother Moore.
Right.
And we stand here today not with just some, and I'm going to talk about some of our victories on this side, but the greatest victory of all is when you realize that you come from God.
Amen.
And you're going back to God.
Amen.
Let come what may from day to day.
Amen.
But this too shall pass, and I will outlast everything that the devil or anything comes my way.
Amen.
If it's 80 years, it's a drop in a bucket. If it's a couple days, it's a drop in a bucket. You realize, and that's the thing to always remind the devil too, I don't care if the trial's tough. I don't care if you're down with the Molly Grubs a little bit.
Right.
This too shall pass.
Amen.
Oh, how many times have I used that in my life?
Yeah.
I've heard that since I've been listening to God.
Amen.
This too shall pass.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited to say.
Yes. Yes.
Brother Moore, it's only temporal on this side.
That's right.
I don't care if I have a flesh issue that I wish I could get rid of. This too shall pass. Oh, if I got a sickness that God ain't healed me of yet, this too shall pass. This ache and pain that I'm in today, this too shall pass. This financial situation I'm in, this stress at the job I'm in, this pressure at school I'm in, this too shall pass. I have something on the inside of me that's God's own life, which is eternal life, that will outlast every bit of those things that I'm talking about. We can't lose. We won't lose.
Amen.
Brother Moore, we do possess the gates of the enemy.
Right.
We are victorious.
Yes.
And even the ones I'm going through right now, I know he's seen me through them.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen too much. He got me through the bear.
Yeah.
He got me through the lion.
Yeah.
And he'll get me past this Goliath too.
That's right.
I'll have victory every day of my life. Why? Because I got God on my side.
Oh.
I have his word.
Amen. Amen.
And I can't help but win.
Right. Amen.
Oh, victory is a great thing.
Yeah.
We're more than conquerors.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I like how it says we're more than.
Yeah.
We're not just barely.
Oh, right.
Not just conquerors.
Right.
We're more than.
That's right.
God has supplied us with every need.
Amen.
That we have.
Amen.
He knew what the devil was going to do before he did it. You know, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Turn with me to Romans 8. Because I can't help but go over here when I'm talking about what I'm talking about right now. But I want to remind you of a scripture that we have said in here thousands of times. But tonight, when I'm talking about Victory Day, it shows how much victorious we really are. The first one will get us excited. Verse 28. And we know. We don't guess. We don't hope. We understand. We have a revelation. We're going to get to Matthew 16 in a little bit, because the gates of hell can't prevail against a revelation. But we know by the word of God, by it being quickened to us, that all things work together for good. For good. No matter what you're going through, it all works together for good. If it's a trial, it's for your good. If it's a disappointment, it's for your good. If you're down a little bit, it'll end up being for your good. You're going through what you think is one of the hardest times of your life. It's going to be for your good. It'll make you stronger. It'll help you grow. Just remember who you are. You're a child of the King. And this is going to work for your good. You will be victorious at the end of it. Oh, when a rebuke first comes through, it's grievous at first. Oh, but at the end of it, Brother Moore, it brings peaceable fruit. So I don't care what it feels like right now. Remind yourself that feeling's going to be for your good. God will use it. It's going to help you. You'll remember one day and say, I've been through this. I ain't going that route again. I know what that feels like. That's what it will be like sometimes. Oh, I remember that payment. I don't want to pay that again. But one way or the other, it's going to work for your good. Because we're going to read why here in a minute. But just know and rest assured and tell the devil to choke on that a little bit. No matter what, come what may. It's going to work for my good. Oh, when we start talking like this, this is why Brother Moore says we can't lose. This is why we don't want you to talk too negative. This is why we don't want you to give the devil credit. I got too many positive plus scriptures. This isn't, do you realize I love about this? This ain't just positive thinking. This ain't some psychology class. And you know, I even believe that a natural psychology can help people. Because if you're more positive in the natural, it's better than being negative. Amen. Be positive even in the natural. Amen. But I'm here to tell you this is even greater than psychology. Right. This is the word of God. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. Never but his word will never fail you. If he promised you all things will work together for your good, you can take it to the bank and count on it that it's going to come to pass. Oh, don't let the devil have any credit. Even when he lets you, even when he lets the devil attack you like he did Job, it's going to work for your good. Think about Job. How much we reference Job. How he set an example for everybody that followed after him. That come what may, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But to God be the glory. Job stood there no matter how hard the trial got and said, I still love God. Oh, that story is tough as that was on Job. I can reference it tonight and apply it to myself. God uses everything. That gets me excited. Works together for the good. To them that love God. It's a slut group. Not everybody loves God. If you don't love God, the scripture don't apply to you. But if you love God, the scripture applies to you. I know I love God. So I'm quite sure that all things work together for my good. But if you don't love God, I can't guarantee you that. But listen, he adds to this. To them who are called according to his purpose. Some people profess to love God. But they're in the wrong day, in the wrong age, haven't recognized their day and his message, aren't called according to his purpose. I can't promise this scripture to them. But oh, bride, the people that know where she's standing, that knows where she's at, can look all the way back, look where they're at, look where they're going, knows exactly where they're at, fulfilling God's purpose. This scripture I just read applies to you and me and the bride around the world. Not just these four walls. That was just the first one. But we're going to read on. There's more to it. I got to keep moving because this is the start here. For whom he did foreknow. Now, for those that don't know, let me explain that a little bit. God is so great that He's not like us humans. We have a finite mind. We can think a little bit what's in front of us, kind of plan for tomorrow, remember some things, change our minds. But God's infinite. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, everywhere, omniscient. He's all powerful. And He can see things and know them foreknow before they even happen. That's how great He is. You realize God knew every time a fly would bat its eyes before it bat its eyes. He knew it, we would be sitting here tonight and what He would talk to you about and what questions you came in here with and what things you needed to be talked to about before we even got here tonight. This serves especially just for you. And God was so great that before we even got here and able to manifest good or evil, Brother Moore, He knew who would love Him and who wouldn't. And when He looked down there and He saw who would love Him and believe Him and accept Him, He foreknew them. And it's getting ready to say, those are the ones He predestinated. God saw us before we even could get here and do something to mess it up. And what's so great about that foreknowledge is that, well, let me read. Because I'm getting ready to preach the scripture. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Same group of people. If you know God foresaw you and predestinated you, you can stand up here like Brother Moore says, I will outlast you. I will endure to the end. Because He's called me, He's justified me, and He's going to glorify me. In His mind, it's already done. Oh, that gets me excited. We're victorious. We're going to be victorious. You might see an old man right now, but I'm telling you, there's coming a glorified body, brother. It's promised me. It's coming. He already saw it. And I know I've already in a few steps of those. I recognize I've been foreknown. I recognize I've been predestined. I recognize I've been called. And I've been justified. I am well on my way. And there's only just one step left of manifestation. Because understanding in God's mind, it's done. It is good. He already sees me that way in that sense. But as far as manifestation, I only got one more step to go. But why would I doubt Him now when He's done the rest? He's going to get me all the way through. Oh, that gets you. Victory day. When has there ever been a day to even understand the Bible the way we understand the Bible? It's open today, like Brother Mike said. He's not just part of the waters, He's part of the book. I can read between the lines, I understand what it's saying, I understand it applies to me. And I can stand here and realize I'm a victorious child and bride of Jesus Christ. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And on and on and on. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I'm going to stop there so I can keep moving on. That scripture is a good scripture, people. That's a that shows victory. That talks about a victorious group of believers. He foreknew you, predestinated you. He's already seen you finish the course. He's already seen you glorified. Oh, it won't be long now. It's got to happen. It's been spoken. Now let it manifest. Now, let's turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Throw this one in here. Oh, never let your feelings dictate what you do. It'll stop you. It'll stop you. But if you yield to God, despite how you feel.
Amen.
Oh, and walk by faith, Brother Dustin. Knowing that he promised he'd take care of the rest. Oh, I'm going to get to a quote here a little bit. I ain't gonna give you any hint about it yet. I'm going to save it for my... But he'll take care of the rest. He'll do it. Just step out there. This day, this scripture fulfilled before your very eyes. Because when I sat behind the pulpit, I wasn't feeling it. Just want you to know, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't jumping up and down and walking up to the pulpit. I'm still a little tired. But I didn't let that stop. I didn't trust my feelings. Feelings ain't what leads me. Feelings aren't what make me make a decision. It's my trust and belief and faith in God that says, you just get out of the way and I'll take care of the rest. Well, I'm feeling it now. And even that is not what I'm counting on, but I'm telling you, that stimulation's worked on the outside. And now I feel like I can preach for a little while. Now I'm like, where's the devil at now? But don't let your feelings dictate what you're going to do. They'll lead you and lie to you every day of your life. One day they will be up. One day they'll be down. One day they'll be agreeing with you and telling you the truth. Next day it'll be lying to you. You can't trust those two outer realms. The devil has access to them. But what you can trust is this revelation that has dealt with your soul, that you've eaten on. That's what you let walk by. That's what you look to. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's got to be a personal revelation. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice he's talking about revealing there. It's a revelation. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation of God's word, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, that's another positive scripture. I don't see anything negative about that one. Now, I wanted to get over here because when we talk about victory, you know, the question would say, what makes you victorious? Well, it starts with Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus had to pay the price. Let's just start there, you know. And this message, Victory Day, matter of fact, I liked reading it this week. This is all tied together. Brother Abraham started off, he says, people's problem is they lose focus on the Word of God. You know, it's like you said Sunday night, you know, when you're going through something in your mind or you're having problems, put the Word on it. Focus on the Word. Read a scripture. Don't lose focus on that word. And you guarantee the devil has to flee. That's what sent him away. But Brother Brandon was talking about people lose focus. And he was talking about Jesus Christ, how Christ paid the way. And he says we should always look back to that and focus in on that. He says, but for some reason, people want to figure out a way they can muster it up and earn their way. He said, what happens is people lose focus. I'm paraphrasing. And they, in one sense, fall in defeat because no matter how good you can be, it's still filthy rags. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't lose focus. Look back at Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. He's made this available to us. Now, for what Jesus is saying here, Peter, that revelation God gave you, which is the Word of God, which is about Christ, that's what the gates of hell shall not prevail against. It's the revelation of the Word, Brother Moore. He can't get past it. He can't mess with it. Just the same as the revelation of Jesus paid it all. The devil can't do anything with that. Amen. So you take the revelation you have and you wear out and whip the devil.
That's right.
Every day of your life. That's what you do.
Amen.
Now I want to read a powerful quote.
This is out of the seven church ages. Brother Branham says, now remember this, Christ and the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. Now listen, he knows that if the people get the true revelation, back to Revelation, of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get the true revelation of the... Now, we know this, people. What he's saying, that's us. If they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, which is just anti-word, Satan will be powerless before her. He didn't even just say him. He said her, the bride. Us. He will be definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. We will possess the gates of the enemy. Now think, we do. Think about what we have, we do, we will. Think about what he just said there. And you know that's where we are. That's where we're standing today. We have a true revelation of the two spirits in the framework of the church. We have a revelation of what God's been doing. We have an open book now. We've seen our names in the book. We know the bride standing on her feet. We know what the greater works even mean. It's a many-member bride body now. We have that revelation. The devil can't stand it. But the thing I love about it is he can't beat it. With the revelation that we have, we will withstand all the gates of hell and prevail over the devil. All the way to the rapture, all the way to your everyday life. Every decision in your everyday life, you can overcome with this revelation. You have an answer in everyday problems, and we have an answer to that, what we consider the big thing. The rapture's coming. But it hasn't been done. We got an answer. We got a revelation. When the devil comes and says, oh, you're not good enough, there's therefore no condemnation, that's a revelation. Right. Oh, are you sure you're worthy? I've seen my name in the book, that's a revelation. Amen. On and on and on. Oh, you should just, don't worry about coming to church, you should just do anything you want. No, revelation, get to the house of God. We have an answer to all the devil's questions. Heads just come down the body. The open book's here, the full word's here, the true revelation's here. There's no leaven in it, Brother Moore. It's a perfect word of God to withstand all 200 million demons and whatever the devil has. We're overcomers. How did we start off? This too shall pass. That's a revelation I have. Let come what may, this too shall pass. I don't care how hard it feels, this too shall pass. I got a revelation. I'm overcoming the devil with my revelation. Even when I don't feel it, as I described. I still got a revelation. I don't have to feel a revelation. The revelation don't come by feelings. Revelation don't come by inspiration or this feeling in this flesh. It will stimulate you once you get it, but that ain't how it comes. It comes by the word of God just getting quickened to you. It's an unseen thing, really. It just happens without you knowing it. Next thing you know, God's revealed his word to you, and from that revelation, many things will manifest.
That's right.
But here comes that revelation, despite how you feel. The devil can't take that away. You're down that day, devil can't take it away. He's trying to tell you you're lonely, devil can't take it away. You put the word on him every single time. Stand on that sure foundation. Stand on that word. It'll get you through anything and everything in life. Focus on the word, so to speak. That's what Brother Branham said. That's where we lose, is when we get turn our eyes off of Jesus. But just be still and know that I'm God. Hide the word in thy heart. I'm not talking about focus on it so like the world would almost have you study it so much and meditate on day and night and try to work yourself into it. No, you use that revelation of the word of God that you've gotten right here. You know what I like about it? I've been serving God since I've been young. You know, I'm up the road now, and I can sit here and give you a lot more complicated situations I've been through than when I was 16 or 17. But you know, when I was 16, maybe I didn't have the revelation I have now or the information. I took what I had. Simple things. Whip the devil. Maybe it had nothing to do with the rapture that I was thinking about, or how I'm going to raise my kids I was thinking about, or all the people I lead at work, or all the spiritual things, what I'm going to preach on, and what the seven thunders mean. I wasn't even thinking about those things at 16. I was thinking about how I was going to get through school, how to fit or not fit in, or what I should do, how I should live, what God wants out of my life, just simple everyday life. But you know what got me through wasn't anything other than the revelation of the Word of God. Take what you got, what God has given you, and it will whip every devil that comes your way. I just trust God enough that He will equip you before the devil even can come and bother you. He'll make sure you got the answer that you need. And then you don't think you have the answer, you come to church and let Him preach to you. Come talk to your pastor. Go talk to your parent. Go talk to an elder. He'll give you that answer, and you'll wear out the devil every single time. Amen. Think about what they did in Joshua's day. That was the thing that sometimes confounds me about this. This wasn't when he told Naaman, go dip in the water seven times and it'll heal you of your leprosy. In the dirtiest river. Just go dip seven times. Wasn't some great mitten. Great, mysterious thing. It was just, go dip in the water.
Yes, sir.
That's what got him his answer.
Yeah.
And all he told Joshua, just march around the city.
Yeah.
But shouldn't we take our bows and our arrows, take our swords out, go charge, and just march around the city, blow the trumpet. And on the seventh day, I just want you to march around seven times, not just one. And then I want everybody to make as much noise, so to speak, as they can. Praise God. Thank God. That's what we're doing. Oh, just get the devil out of your mind with some praise. Think about what God's done for you when He's bothering you. Send Him on His way with that. Oh, He's kept me from 0 to 43 years old. He saved me in the car accident. He saved me at school. He saved me through that sickness. Just thank God. Make some noise to the God, so to speak. Praise Him and worship Him. Watch the devil flee, because that's how good God's been to you. But it was simple instructions, just marched around seven times, Brother Moore.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't go charge, go do this, come up with another idea. It wouldn't even work if they came up with another idea. They needed to follow the instructions to a T and use what God had told them, Brother Deskins. And you know what happened when they did that? The walls come tumbling down. Apply that to your everyday life. God talks to you in here. You know, He talks to us individually, but you know, our pastor's ordained to lead us through. When God gives him an answer, do this, do that. Don't get up before the song leaders. Simple. That's all you got to do.
Amen.
Walls will come tumbling down. God will bless you because you listened to His word and stayed focused on that word. You want to know how to whip the devil? Use that revelation. Stay focused on that word. Follow the instructions. Submit to God.
Amen.
Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Jesus used the word on the devil every single time. And I don't care if the answer is go dip in the water seven times. I don't care if it's don't get up before the song leaders. I don't care if it's told you to wear a mask. I don't care if he told you to do vaccination, whatever. Just follow the simple instructions. And I promise you, you'll be blessed by God, because God keeps His word and He brings forth the fruit of the end. He brings forth what He promised to you. God promised that we'd be blessed if we didn't get up before the song leaders.
Amen.
I'm accounting on it.
Amen.
He'll bring it forth.
Amen.
I was blessed tonight, but I'm just telling you, we're going to be blessed.
Amen.
That's how much faith I got in what the simple instructions of God. That's how simple it's got to be.
Amen.
One day He's going to give us another simple instruction. We're going to realize we don't have to be here.
Amen.
Just step on in the water. Don't worry about the details. Just step in the water. That's what He's counting on this bride to do. And we're the ones with perfect faith, with perfect revelation. We're not like Moses' spies. We're like Joshua's spies, Brother James. They actually went in the water when it hadn't parted yet, Dad. They didn't have to have it parted for them. Those priests stepped in and it started coming up. And it went to the last one got in that it parted. But what those priests did, they were so confident with that revelation. They said, I trust God. He's brought us this far. He's promised this land. We're going to be victorious. You just listen to God's word and follow those instructions. And God
Amen.
Will bless you. Listen to this. I can try to save some time, but this is from Victory Day. Seems like the Christian life, if the fellow is not absolutely centered in Christ, the Christian life seems to hold so many disappointments, but those disappointments are God's divine will happening for us. Now, it doesn't seem like it'd be that way, but it's God's way of doing things. He lets us hit a river to see what we'll do. Moses led the children of Israel right to the path of duty. Pharaoh's army right behind him, the dust blowing, 500,000 men in arms, and here was 2 million helpless Jews with nothing standing there, men, women, children, so forth. And the Red Sea had him cut off. The Dead Sea had him cut off. There was no place to go. But Moses had a V-Day, a victory day, when he prayed through. He went to begin to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Who are you crying to me? I commissioned you to do it. Speak to the children," and they go on in the line of duty. Amen. There you are. Don't cry out to me. You're commissioned to take these people over. Just speak to them and that they go forward, stay straight in the path of duty. Amen. Now listen to what he says. This is where I want to get to. What a courage that ought to be to a sick person. What a courage that ought to be to a backslider. Turn yourself around and start back. Stay in the line of duty. Here's what I like. It's God's business to open up the Red Sea. It's God's business. You just speak and move forward. That's all you have to do. What he's trying to say is you have faith in God's word. You have a revelation. You do what he tells you. God's got to take care of the details. Moses had no more power to spread that Red Sea open than anybody on the face of the earth. As a man, he had no physical power. But what he did is he spoke by faith what God told him to do, and God took care of the details. And that's what we're to do in our everyday life. It'll work every single time. We will never fail you. Now, I'm getting close to closing, but I want to get to one more point here, because we referenced this a lot on Sunday and it stuck with me. Turn with me to Romans 8th chapter. Romans 8, again. Thank you for pointing that out. We know, this church knows how much we like Romans 7, 8, 9. 8 is the center of it all there. You can't preach hardly without too much reference in 8 every once in a while. And here I'm in Matthew. Give me a minute to even get my senses together to get there. But Romans 8. We'll start down here. I think it's verse 17. And we'll start with verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brother Branham references scripture when he talked about character is a victory. And before I say a lot about it, let me just read you what Brother Branham said about it, all right? Church Age book, Brother Branham says, James 1, 2, and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8, 17 through 18. And he reads the scripture, if children be heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Character is a victory. A man without character cannot reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcome and is sat down on his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary, this too shall pass, suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that try you. That is what Peter says. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened sons. No one, not one, but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6-8, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now this isn't suffering like we think. I'm going to send you down to hell and I'm going to burn you with fire and God's just trying to punish you. That's not what Brother Branham's saying here. What he's saying here is what we've preached many times. Sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. This thing comes with some payments every once in a while. Because what we've talked about this so many times, you got a flesh, you got a carnal mind, and those things are contrary sometimes, and what things contrary to what the Word of God wants in our lives. But you've been born again. You got a new birth. You got this inside, this nature about you that automatically loves God. Now you're going to make your mistakes and fall down, and I'm not suggesting you won't, but what you're also going to do is you're going to overcome a lot of things. You're going to, your flesh is going to want this, but you're going to say, but I love God, and I'm going to do this. Amen. You're going to want to be popular, but because you just don't fit into the world, you're not going to be popular. Amen. You're not going to want to preach, but because you love God, you preach. Amen. I go up down the list. Yeah. You love vanilla ice cream, but you eat chocolate because that's what God tells you to do.
That's right.
You fill in the blank.
Right.
Your flesh don't always love it.
That's right.
It can cause you to lose family members. Jesus himself said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? Those that love them do the will of God. It'll cause a separation. It'll cause you to be different at work. It'll just do things that doesn't always feel good. But you know, Christ, before he was going to go up and get crucified, he knew it wasn't going to feel good. All the way to the point he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Didn't want to do it. But he eventually said, not my will, but thine be done. He overcome. And it builds character. He said he learned obedience through the things which he suffered.
That's right.
And so must, and so will we. And all I'm trying to preach this is not to make you be afraid of suffering. I'm here to pump you up, to remind
That's
you.
Right.
It's a part of an everyday walk of a Christian.
Right.
But what's so great about it is that all things work together for the good.
Amen.
God's in it. He's building character in you. It's like the quote I read Sunday. He knows he can trust you,
yeah,
that you love him, that you will overcome the devil. Oh, that makes me feel pretty good.
Amen.
I know I can't altogether do it on my own, but I know I got a choice to make.
That's right.
He gave me that free moral agent. I got to choose to do it or not to do it. I got to do my part, and he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
But that makes me, I'm like Job, like, get behind me, devil.
Right.
The Lord gives, the Lord takes away.
Right.
He's given me everything I need to overcome. He's already seen me through this thing. It makes me feel like I got a challenge, and I'm ready to take it on.
Yeah.
I don't care how tough it looks. Just remember, God's sending you through that thing. You're going to build a little character. You're going to come in on the other side stronger than you were before you started in it. Look to the promise. Look to the character building. Look to the all things work together for the good. Look for you're going to come out of the other end whipping the devil even more than he was whipping before in the front end. We are going to have victory. We always do have victory. And character is a victory.
Amen.
And don't think, we've said this here lately, that this walk, and on one side of the coin, I got to make sure we stay balanced. We're at perfect rest. This is the easiest time to be a Christian on one side of it because we have the full revelation of God. That's on one side of the coin. But on the other side of the coin, this isn't just some, I do anything I want, nothing's going to cost me anything. That's not how God works. For much is given, much is required. He sent you for a purpose. He wants you to fulfill that purpose. I ain't here to tell you it's my purpose. My purpose ain't your purpose, but he sent you for a purpose. You're a member of this body in particular, as 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter says. But just know when you fall in diverse temptations and go through trials, it's just God working through that fiery furnace, tempering you, making you into what he wants you. Because character is a victory. But count it a joy, Peter said, when you go through these things. That I'm a child of God. He count me worthy to go through this.
Amen.
And it's working together for my good, and I'm going to come out stronger. That makes me feel a lot better off.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, when I'm standing here tonight, and that's coming forward, I'm stimulated by revelation, it feels good. let time last and let me have to go through my next trial. When I'm not feeling so good, I'll forget it. But you know what will happen? Revelation will come. Some preacher will come and stir up that mind. You know what will come across? It's just a trial. God saw that you could get through this thing. This too shall pass. He's going to build character in you. And you start whipping the devil with the very thing. You was rejoicing one time. Now you're down in the mallee grubs. But you start using that word. God's got me. This ain't because I'm just some big bad boy. This is because he loves me. And I'm just building character. It's a victory. Turn that negative into a positive. It's going to be a victory on the other side. And that makes me feel good. I think back, I've talked about a few of them before, trial 16, trial there. If I look back now, I think, man, I got stronger. Yeah. Not because I did something so good. God just got me, helped me get through, gave me the word. I used the word. Amen. And I've overcome the devil. And it's what made David say, Goliath, you're going down. Got through the lion, I got through the bear. You're next. And your sickness, because that's the gate of the enemy. Whatever problem you're worried about at work tomorrow, possess the gate of the enemy. What, that little family issue you're having, just apply the word to it. You'll come out victorious. That rebuke God gave to you, just get past the grievousness of it, and it'll bring forth peaceable fruit. You will have a victory every day of your life. You're going to go through trials, but remember, you're going to get through them, you'll get stronger, and you're ready for the next Goliath. And these things you get, you know, the things he bothered with me at 16? Like, is that you again? Like, that don't even... That's a problem. What are you doing? He's got to try to tackle me with something more different than that now, Brother Moore. Don't come after me. I've overcome that already. But my point is that's a victory. And this is victory day. And this bride of Jesus Christ is ordained not to fall. We will get through these things. This ain't to put the fear in you in the sense that you can't do it. I'm telling you, you're more than conquerors. You're a born-again child of God. You have eternal life. You have the revelation. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You will build character. You will get to where you're supposed to get. Apply the word. Celebrate the victory. Blow the harp. Sing the song. Praise God. Thank him for seeing you through. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I'm used to be. I'm right where God wants me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's how you should can talk. Because you're a victorious bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my last thing I really wanted to talk about is we talk about these everyday life victories here. He can heal you of sickness, which is a great victory. And we thank God for it. I ain't belittling it. But after you heal your sickness, if he doesn't come before you too long, you'll still die. But I'm here to tell you, we're already well on our way. We've been born again. We have eternal life manifest in our very life. Brother Bram said, You've already got the earnest now. You've already got that first step. You know why he says that? We've said it before. The full manifestation of the Son of God will be when that glorified body wraps around. All three realms are perfect. We've said it. We're already there in all ways but one. I ain't shorting you. I'm just telling you that we're going to get the other thing. Everything but our house. Then you go over and read why I always like to go to Revelation 21. Be no parting there. No tears there. No dying there. No sadness there. The devil won't even be there. Oh, that's going to be a real victory day then. And we're ordained to get there. Any day we're going to get this body changed, Brother Moore. This is the hour for it. It's already been spoke. We already got a revelation. Brother Bram said the rapture is just a revelation. It's been spoken. Now let it happen. We know we're already in the middle of it. We got so much revelation. I'm just waiting for the day. But you know what? Old Caleb, when he'd been through so many things, he could almost just sit there and say, give him a mountain. And just not even worry. You know, we've got to keep riding the devil, but he just knows that God's going to get him through is the point I'm trying to make. And that's where we are. Look all he's brought the bride through. Brought him through the Antichrist spirit, brought him through giving up their lives, brought him through the intelligence with the intelligent man, gave us the Bible, brought us a prophet, restored the word. He was ahead of the devil every single time. Knew the fall in the garden was going to happen, and already gave Christ, the woman's seed in his mind, slain before the foundation of the world. Always ahead of the devil. Brought us through every victory he'll bring you through. I like how Brother Moore said it. You get to possess the gate of the enemy every day in your life. Apply it down to the simplest thing, of a sickness, to a mental battle, to whatever it may be. You are victorious. You have the word of God. This too shall pass. But oh my, real victory day. Where I won't grow old. No more gray hairs. No more pains, aches. That day's coming. Jesus paid for that too. And we're standing on our feet. That victory is coming. So always remember, God's got your back. He's got your front. That's why David said, I think in Psalms 139, he goes, before me, set behind me, knows my thoughts are far off. Where shall I depart from thy spirit? He said, I'll be with you, even in you, all the way to the end of the world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I can't hardly open this Bible and not find a scripture that shows us we're going to be victorious. All over the place. Every story I've read, victorious. I think about Jesus, and I got to get Brother Moore. I always like this picture. Devil crucified him thinking he's won. And then in a split second, got Jesus down hell looking right at the devil. So he still didn't get me. I'm still alive. And I'm down here to preach to these souls in prison and take my people out. And he did it. So even when the devil thinks he's winning, he's losing. He said, you know what Jesus could say? I'm just here to fulfill the scripture. It says I had to go preach to souls in prison and bring them out and take them to paradise, the real paradise. Oh, we get victory. Even when we're losing, all things work together for the good. So hold your head up high. Use that word, that revelation. God will see you through. God bless you. Come on, Pastor.
If there's ever been a day that's been a V day, it's this day. But really, they had it every day. You know, I was thinking, and Jeremiah was saying, and I was thinking it all service while I was talking about this. I said, you know, and it's funny because we look at our trials, and we call it trials, you know, because it's hard and it's bad and nobody likes it and you got to go through it. Well, they had trials in every age. But what we forget is that though they had trials in every age, God gave a beast to get them through their trial. I mean, you think of everything that each one of them did. They had to give their life. And Brother Branham said, God sent a spirit on them that they would have given 100 times. So even though they gave their life the one time, though it was called a trial, it wasn't really that hard because they were made to do it. And that's the point I'm trying to get across to us, is that though we're going through things on this side, and we have trials, and we do have trials, but just as much as God gave them the spirit of the beast, just as much as you see what Luther went through, that was a trial. But God put a spirit of a man on him, and him and Phoenix and all Knox and all those people who were raised up to do what they did in that day. They would have gladly done what they did 100 times. And though it was hard, and it was hard, I'm not saying it wasn't hard, but they had a spirit that was with them to help them to do what nobody else could do. And it's the same in that hour that we're living in. Oh, we go through trials. But you know what? God also gave us a beast. And just as much as we go through this, we would do what we're doing 100 times over. Because of the spirit that we have, we see more than any other age. We can look back and see the whole program. We can look ahead and see what things that are to be. We can look and see things that are. We've got all that was, all that is, and that all that is to come. We're standing here with the greatest eyesight that anybody has ever had. Flying high, soaring, defeating the devil every turn. He don't even know what to do with us. Because of the beast that has on us. So though it might seem like a trial, greater is he that's in you. Greater is that eagle spirit that's in you. That overcoming, revelated, high flying, meat eating. You can't eat nothing but the meat. You don't want to be babied. You don't want somebody to give you milk. Milk makes us sick. I listen to the radio sometime and they start pouring the milk and it just makes me sick. I have to turn the channel. Sometimes I'll turn to just music, I can't take it. It doesn't fit my goal. It doesn't fit my appetite. I'm made to eat the meat of the word. You cannot serve it hot enough or hard enough. You can tell me I'm wrong and I'm bad and I'm this and I'm that. And I say, you're right. Now let me get right. Yeah. Like Brother Childers always say, just give me 2 minutes. Yeah. If I got something wrong, give me 2 minutes.
Right.
I'm an eagle.
Yeah.
I overcome everything.
Amen.
You overcome everything. Amen. This is V-Day for us because now we look and see it all and we understand clearly. We're not walking around here with our heads down. We're not sitting here confused about who's right, who's wrong, what's this, what's that. No, this is the bride. She knows every scripture she looks at. She knows every man she meets. Give him 2 minutes, and I'll give you a minute back nowadays. It doesn't take no time. I know where I'm at. I don't even worry about going to heaven. I'm going. How do you know you're going? Because I come from heaven. No man can go to heaven except for he that come from heaven. Even the Son of Man. Him too. But he's talking about me. When you're reading that scripture, I forget which one. I'm right now, I'm sort of a little. But you were reading the scripture, and Jesus was talking about, what was the, when he was reading that, when he was talking about giving the keys to Peter, I was listening to what Jesus was saying, and I come to the conclusion, sitting there, now I've read that scripture 40 years, and I always looked at that scripture and said, Jesus was talking to Peter. He wasn't talking to Peter. For the first time, I heard him talking to me. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And then he started explaining how it was going to work.
Right.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail. I give unto you. Who knew it wasn't Peter? Come on now. I thought, you know, and all these years I'm thinking, Peter? He gave Peter keys, and he did.
Right.
But he wasn't just talking to Peter.
Right.
He was talking about what's going to happen to you when you get to Revelation. When you get to Revelation, I give unto you the keys. He was prophesying of how the revelation was going to work. I give unto you the king. I give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom is the revelation. And whatever you bind. And whatever you lose. It wasn't just Peter, but every believer with the revelation was given the keys to that kingdom. And what is the kingdom? The word of God.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I just never read that Bible, Brother Allen. It's like, what have I been doing for 40 years? I give under you the kingdom.
Amen.
You're holding the keys right now. The keys of the revelation. And nobody's had the revelation like this last day bride. Nobody's had as many keys as we have. Luther had the just shall live by faith. Wesley had the just shall live by faith and sanctification. He had 2 keys. Pentecostal had 3. Brother Branham had 4, restoration of the word. But we're holding on. We had a whole ring of keys. We got them all now. That's why we can go anywhere in that Bible. You take me to the Old Testament, I can tell you what it means. Go to the New Testament, I can tell you what it means. Meet every man, any man I talk to, I know where he's at.
Right.
Whatever I bind, it's bound. Yeah. Whatever I loose, it's loosed. Why? Because of my revelation.
Yeah.
I got the keys.
Amen.
Devil don't have control over me. He said, well, I'm going to kill you. You can't. I got the keys. I got the keys of death and hell. What are the keys of death and hell? If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. Oh, my. So if this ain't a victory day, when we're sitting up here with all the keys, if you're confused in this hour, something's wrong with you. You need to use your keys.
You're sitting up here looking at a door and acting like you don't have a lock, the key to unlock it. You're going to lock any door you run across now.
Sickness, Brother Ben said, if I can get you to believe, not even cancer is standing in the way. We're not afraid of cancer. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of failures, falls, thoughts, and whatever you call them. We're not afraid of the devil. We're not afraid of the denomination. We're not afraid of nobody. Why? Because I'm holding the keys. And I let whoever I want in.
That's right.
I got the key. My loved ones, come on in. My friends, come on in. Foolish virgins, come on in. I'm walking around with all the keys now. So if this ain't victory day, I don't know what you're looking for. If you're still down and out in this hour, I have a hard time being down in this hour. I really do. I might get down for a minute, but that's the minute for me to realize I'm down. Like, wait a minute. Hold on. I got a key for that. I don't have to be down. I can fix that. Praise God. I got a scripture to fix that. I got something to answer everything that comes across my path. You said, that's why I said I can outlast you. Because I know the devil gets tired of running. He's been trying to keep up with me for 40 years. He still don't know what to do with me. He don't know what to call me. He don't know what to tell me. He used to tell me when I first started, he used to tell me, you ain't good enough to be a Christian. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Then I found out that Jesus Christ was good enough. And when Jesus Christ is good enough, when the devil come at me and say, you're not good enough, yeah, he did it. But you can't, yeah, but he did it. But I had his answer. And you know what he stopped doing? He stopped telling me I'm not one of them. He haven't told me I'm not one of them for a long time. Then he turned around and said, okay, so you're one of them, but you're not a good one. And he did that for a while. And you run around those trees. And then you say, yeah, you know what? It's not about my goodness. My goodness is filthy rags. And he said, but you know, my goodness is filthy rags. Okay, then he comes back and says, fine, not about you. You can't do anything. I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ. I got another key for that. See why it's important to know the Word of God? We got the keys now. We got the keys to the rapture. Do you know you're holding the keys to the rapture? And one of these days, I'm going to turn it in that lock. Because I know that there's some people that's going to be alive and remain. And that's what be me. Nobody else is going to do it. Says somebody's got to do it, Brother Allen. Well, if somebody's got to do it, they didn't get to do it. Matter of fact, they're depending on us. Can you imagine that victory day? When we finally all, when the living and the dead unite, I was sitting there thinking, when we actually walk out of this world and walk through the gates of glory, just in marveling what we're actually here. We're actually getting ready to do the marriage supper. We've been talking about it and talking about it. Here we are. It won't be long. Come on, musicians. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me or I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. God bless you. Think on these things that Jeremiah talked about. We got the victory. Amen. Good to see the Allens here. Do come again. God bless you, sis. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch.
wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. My Lord,
y'all rushing me back here. I feel like I'm being pushed. I want to enjoy it.
All right. Take your time, man. I was like, huh? Okay. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He stopped me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. Yes, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He pledged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, I heard about a mansion built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, and about the angels singing, and that old redemption story. Victory. Oh, yes, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, it's victory.
My love.